good morning once again, everyone. We are continuing today in our series in the book of Genesis, and we're learning through this series how our world began. And last week we finished off the story of Noah and went through the story of the Tower of Babel. And a couple things you learned from this story was that God protects and provides for his people, and that we are to exalt God rather than ourselves. Now, just a side note, I just had a question a few minutes ago, what I preached on last week, and it was a really good question, and I want to point it out for you today. Last week, I commented on how when Noah first got off the boat, he sacrificed an animal. And the question was, okay, does that mean that one of the species went extinct when he did that? And it was a good question, but you need to remember that when Noah brought animals onto the ark, the typical pattern was for there to be two pairs of each species, but of the clean animals, God says in chapter 7, verse 2, it says, take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and so on. And it says a two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. And so the in chapter 8, verse where is it here? Verse 18, 20, 19-ish. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. So thank you for that question, and there's your answer. By the way, I always enjoy when people have questions like that whenever I preach a sermon. It helps me think sometimes of things that I didn't think through, or maybe I do have an answer for you, but it's fun to dialogue with what we're talking about here on Sundays. Anyways, before we jump into what we're going to cover today, I want to ask you a question. Has anyone here ever been the recipient of some act of undeserved favor or some act of grace in their lives? I'm sure most of us have. I want to share with you a couple of examples in my life how I was a recipient of some undeserved favor. When I was back in high school, I felt called to be a pastor, and I decided to go to Bible college. And at the time, I still do have a twin brother. And he was dating his girlfriend, which is now his wife. That girlfriend was in Cambridge. That girlfriend, who is now his wife, Melissa, had some friends in Cambridge, and those friends had parents. And those parents, I may have just met once, I maybe not have met them, but I'm not sure. Anyways, they heard I was coming to their city to go to Bible college, and they said, hey, Ryan, we want you to come and live at our house for free. And we're rent-free, and we're also going to feed you, and we're going to pay for it. And that was just an absolute incredible blessing from God. It was an act of undeserved favor where some strangers just opened up their home for me for that first year. Blessing. Another time in my life, back in Ontario, I was in a situation where the wage was low, the debts were high. We were probably renting at the time, I'm not too sure. But anyways, I had a friend who just saw that we needed winter tires and went out and bought us winter tires. It was, again, an absolute blessing from God. And particularly, this was a situation where it was a blessing as well, because it wasn't expected. I didn't deserve it. It was just a blessing from a friend. It was an act of undeserved favor. Now, what about you? Have you ever been the recipient of some act of undeserved favor? And maybe there, if we were to ask some people in the congregation today, there might be stories of adoption, or maybe family or friends welcoming you into their family. And maybe there's stories here, people giving you their time where they really didn't, didn't really even deserve it. Or maybe there are stories of people helping you in a very difficult time and expecting absolutely nothing in return. It's likely we all have stories of undeserved favor in our lives, and perhaps if you're in a small group, you can talk about that throughout the week. But today we're going to read of a story of a man named Abraham who received undeserved favor from God. In fact, if you don't remember anything about my message today, just remember two words. This is a story of undeserved favor. It's a story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. So let me pray before we begin. God, you are a good and gracious God, and you're holy too. Lord, you don't tolerate sin. At the same time, you're full of mercy and grace, and we thank you and we praise you for that. You don't treat us as we deserve. As we look at the story of a man who received your undeserved favor, Lord, help us to recall how you have bestowed your undeserved favor on us as well. Amen. So we left off after reading the story of the Tower of Babel and in Genesis 11. And then after those verses, we see a list of, we see a genealogical record. And then you'll discover that the man we're reading about today, Abram, was a descendant of Noah through Noah's son, Shem. So we're going to start just a few verses before chapter 12, just for some context. And I'm just going to invite us all to stand as we read the passage for today. We're going to start at Genesis 11, verse 27. Okay, here we go. Genesis 11, 27, just starting a little bit early for context. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishka. Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Now, as a side note, remember that important point, because that's a big deal in future weeks as we continue on in our series, that Sarah was childless and she couldn't conceive. Verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But while they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Now we're going to go on to Genesis chapter 12. And right away we see something very bold that God is saying to Abram. He says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" And here's this incredible act of undeserved favor that happens right now in these following verses. God says to Abram, he says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Pretty amazing. Verse 4, how does Abram respond? So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he was set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And let me remind you that Lot is Abram's nephew. And remember, in the previous passage, Lot's father had died. That's why Abram's taking him. That's why I believe he's taking him. Verse 6 says, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time the Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. This is not Abram's brightest hour we're about to read here. Verse 11, as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know that you're a beautiful woman. I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Just a few more verses now in chapter 13 for context. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev and with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place where Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. You may be seated. So the final verses here in chapter 13 is basically saying, telling us that Abram went back to the place between Bethel and Ai, where he had been previous to entering Egypt. So today, based on this text, primarily Genesis 12, but based on this text that we read today, I want to share with you 4 points. And the first point I want to share with you today is that following God involves sacrifice. Following God involves sacrifice. I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 12 that God tells Abram, he says, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." In other words, God is saying, leave the surroundings you are comfortable with, leave the family you love, leave everything and everyone you know, because I've got something different, I've got something better for you. Can you imagine the conversation that would have taken place between Abram and his family? What? God told you to leave us? Where are you going? I don't know. God just told me to go and he'd bless me. Okay. Sounds good. Notice also in verse 10, after Abram was quick to obey, it says that there was a famine in the land where God sent Abram. And I'm sure there would have been moments of difficulty and struggle. And I wonder if there would have been moments where he doubted God, or if he questioned if he heard God right. Could you imagine leaving your family, your friends, your country, everything you know, and then going to a land where there's a famine? This doesn't seem to be an exciting start. But sometimes in life, God will call us into places in life where places of difficulty for his sake. But if Abram stopped there, he wouldn't have seen God's blessing just around the corner. But anyways, getting back to this whole idea of sacrifice, I'm sure many of us can relate that once we truly decided to follow Jesus, it changed a lot of our relationships. I know for myself, I know I've had some relatives, I've had some friends who look at me a little cross-eyed when I actually tell them I actually believe what the Bible says on certain topics. I'm sure many people here can relate. Not only do some of our relationships change, but sometimes God literally calls us to move. He calls us to move. Maybe it's a career change, ministry. Maybe it's not ministry related. It's just God is calling us to a different place. I think of some of our missionaries. Tim and Debbie share with us their missionaries in China. And they were just here visiting, and they were being sent back to China. And they openly said, we're not excited to go back to China this time around, leaving friends and family behind. And think of Greg and Patty from the Ukraine. They gave their lives to the Lord, I believe, in this church. Is that right? And then shortly after that, they felt called to the Ukraine. God had moved them somewhere else. And other times, it isn't necessarily ministry or missionary related, but you know that whatever work you're involved in, it's just not pleasing to God, or that God has something different for you. Other times, you're moving or fleeing because you're persecuted because of your faith in Jesus. I want to share with you a video of a ministry that's trying to help Syrian refugees in Lebanon. And although it's a video that's focused on refugees, it also illustrates the fact that people who have put their faith in Jesus are being persecuted for their faith. Go ahead, Tony.
نحن من سوريا من لادقية محافظة اللادقية بتاع سابقا اسلام سنة هلا مسيحيين وبعد اجت الحرب عنا باللادقية قوة الاسلام اكثر منه صار جينا تهديدات كثير وفي مرة من المرات كمان بناتي كانوا جاي من المدرسة اثنين دخلوا عليهم على البيت صاروا يسألوا علينا وين امي بدنا نقتلهم من سنة كنت سابعة أنت
وفرحت كتير خفنا كنا كتير خايفين وما عرفنا شو بدنا نعمل
بعدين الوضع صار ما آمن أبدا نحن بيتنا كان صوب مشفل عسكري كنا في أوراق كل كام يوم كانت تجي قنبلة مثلا ما نعرف وين أحيانا تجي على مدرسة أحيانا تجي بحي سكني بعدين فكرنا أنه نطلع
So again, if you want more information about Syrian refugees in Lebanon, you can check out Partners International and see what they're doing to help. Anyways, it's interesting to note, actually, if you read this passage, that Abram was a bit of a refugee as well. He's a bit of a wanderer going from place to place. And anyways, my point here, the first point is that once you decide to follow God, everything changes. Number one, following God involves sacrifice. The second point I want to make today is really my main point today, and it's this, is that this story is a story of undeserved favor. It's a story of undeserved favor. Now, before we talk about this covenant that God made with Abraham, or Abram at this time, we need to understand that Abram was just an ordinary guy. Yes, he was a patriarch. He was a very important figure in the Old Testament. He certainly deserves our respect, but he was just an ordinary guy, just like you and me. I want to talk about some of the things he did well in this passage and some of the things he didn't do so well. At first, let's start with what Abram did well. Notice in verse 4 that Abram quickly obeys God right away, it appears. Quick obedience, he just leaves his country and relatives. He doesn't know where he's going. Notice that God doesn't give him a whole lot of details, and he just does what God tells him to do, an incredible act of faith on his part. Notice also in verse 7 that Abram honors God by building an altar to the Lord in Shechem. He does the same thing in verse 8, different location. He honors God by building an altar to the Lord between Bethel and Ai. So Abram is acknowledging God in his life. He's putting his faith in him. He's putting his faith into practice, into action, all good things. But let's look at what he didn't do so well, and particularly when he entered Egypt. Number one, first he deceives Pharaoh regarding his wife Sarai, and says she is his sister in order to protect himself. And we're going to discover later on in Genesis 20:12 that it was actually a half lie, because she actually was his half sister. Although he leaves out the very crucial information that she was in fact his wife as well. Number two, going along with this lie puts his wife in a very, very difficult spot. And not only is she coerced, Sarai, coerced into lying, but when Pharaoh tells Abram, "I took her to be my wife," I think it likely meant that Pharaoh had sexual relations with her, and adultery is committed. And so personally, as a married man, for all sorts of reasons, I can't fathom how any man could do this to his wife, but he does. A third thing we see here is with this lie is that Abram's lie causes God to punish the Egyptians. Pharaoh unknowingly commits adultery, And God causes the Egyptians to suffer from serious diseases. And fourth, I think the common denominator here is this, is that Abram lost faith in God's protection. And he took matters into his own hands. Abram is seen as a man with great faith, but he had moments in his life where he lost faith in God and took matters into his own hands. And so one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, how often do we take matters into our own hands rather than putting our trust in God? Anyways, Abram is a man who pleased God but also had moments where he messed up big time. And we're going to see as we continue on in our series that he's going to continue to make more mistakes. But I just want to remind you that in many ways, Abram is an ordinary guy like you and me, yet God blessed him with undeserved favor. Let's go back and look at this promise that God made with Abram. It says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And as we carry on through Genesis and through the Bible, we're going to see this covenant and blessing become true. Abraham, first of all, becomes blessed. His descendants are blessed. The Israelites are blessed. And Jesus he's going to be born through the Israelites, through the Jews. And then Jesus is going to become a blessing to the entire world. And so this blessing, this covenant is going to come true on so many levels. But it's important for us to remember that Abram didn't receive this covenant or blessing from God because he was good enough by his own merit. In fact, we're going to see Abram mess up again and again. This act was totally an act of grace by God. This was God's doing, an act of incredible, undeserved favor. And not only that, even though Abram's bad decisions in Egypt threatened to derail the promise, God keeps his covenant intact. I love what one of the commentaries says about this very topic. I'm just going to read it to you. It's from the Expositor's Bible Commentary. It says, "God alone can bring about the divine promise, and the failures of humankind cannot stand in the way." In other words, if God has his hand on you and he's blessing you, even if you try to screw it up, you can't. and as in the case of Abram's life. Even though he made some mistakes, God's promise still is going to stay true in his life. So again, this is a story of undeserved favor. The third point I want to make here is that faith is accompanied with action. There's a passage in the New Testament, Hebrews 11. There's a long list of people who have honored God because of their faith. And Abram makes this list. Some people like to call this list the Hall of Faith. And I want to read to you Hebrews 11, verse 8 and 9. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents." And I want to say that faith in God requires more than lip service. I love what James 2 says, verse 17 and 19. It says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." And verse 19, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." In other words, it's simply not enough to simply believe there's a God out there, or to simply have an appreciation or respect for God. It involves committing to God wholeheartedly and allowing God's Spirit to enter your life and change everything about you and putting your faith into action, into something of substance. Now, in Abram's specific case, it involved leaving his country and his extended relatives. The last point I want to share with you, point four, is that just as Abram put his faith in God, we must put our faith in Jesus. And I just simply want to illustrate this point with an illustration. I'm not sure if this story is true or not, but it's a fun illustration anyways. There's a story told of a great circus performer by the name of Blondin. Does anyone know if that was a real person or not? Yes? It was true. Okay. Dan can confirm that. Well, apparently this guy stretched a long steel cable across Niagara Falls. That's about an hour away from where I grew up in Ontario. Anyways, during high winds and without a safety net, he walked, ran, even danced across the tightrope to the amazement and delight of the large crowd of people who were watching. Once he took a wheelbarrow full of bricks and amazed the crowd by pushing it effortlessly across the cable from one side of the falls to the other. Blondin then returned to the crowd and asked, "Now how many of you believe that I could push a man across the wire in the wheelbarrow?" And the vote was unanimous. Yeah, everyone cheered and held their hands high. They all believed he could do it. And then asked Blondin, "Would one of you please volunteer to be that man?" As quickly as the hands went up, they went back down. Not a single person would volunteer to ride in the wheelbarrow and to trust his life into Blondin. Well, in a similar way today, Jesus is calling you into his wheelbarrow. And Jesus said, I love this, what he said. He said, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it." And Jesus is inviting us today to put our faith in him. And it's an all or nothing deal. Will you put your faith in Jesus today? I want to summarize what we talked about today. The first thing we talked about is that following God involves sacrifice. And sometimes that means moving. Not necessarily, but sometimes it just means changing things in your life in order to please God better, because perhaps he might have something better for you. The second point is that this is a story of undeserved favor. Abram was a very normal guy. He had a lot of awesome, good things about him, and he also had some mistakes that he made in his life. But God, in his grace, blessed Abram with undeserved favor. Third, we need to remember that faith is accompanied by action. It's not enough to just simply believe that there's a God and have a general respect for God or whatever. We need to actually put our faith, decide what we're going to do with Jesus, which is our fourth point. Just as Abram put his faith in God, we should put our faith in Jesus. We need to make a decision. And so I'm going to invite those who are helping with communion to come forward as we transition into that time right now. And I'm just going to say a brief word of prayer. Lord, once again, thank you so much for your word. Now, thank you for the series and what we're learning through the book of Genesis. And Lord, particularly for today, we thank you for your undeserved favor in our lives, particularly as we look at this communion table. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we enter a time of communion today. Amen.